Dead in the middle of a COMMON. Little did I know then
that the Mandela boys would become Mandela men.
Tall woman with a pile of stones and wrap them around the necks
of all the feckless men that queued to be the next.
COMMON. Little did I know then
that the Mandela boys would become Mandela men.
Tall woman with a pile of stones and wrap them around the necks
of all the feckless men that queue to be the next.
With Fitz Pleasure, it is a really cool remix floating around. If you really liked it, which I hope you do, you go to visit their website, altjband.com. Welcome into the playlist. Coming up later in the program, we're going to be speaking with Gretchen Menn about her latest solo project, Hail Souls. But before we get into that, let's hear Spook Houses with American. For more information on the band, you can go to their Facebook, facebook.com/spookhouses.
weak shit.
And I'm going to be speaking with Turtle on the playlist. First, here's a song called Valentina's Victory Lap. We'll be right back.
And welcome back into the playlist. And you just heard Valentino's Victory Lap by Gretchen Menn, who you can find on her website, gretchenmenn.com. And welcome into the playlist.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny because I have somewhat of a predilection towards the name Gretchen. That name to me is synonymous with just smart, brilliant females. Do you get that a lot?
I love your association, but I think it's an uncommon enough name that most people don't really seem to have much association, other than some of my friends who are actually like from Germany. You know, it's clearly a German name, but I think it's the German equivalent of being named like Cinderella or something like that. It is a German name, but because of its use in like Goethe's Faust and Hansel and Gretel in German, I think is Hänschen und Gretchen, which I can't even say my own name right. That would be German, but seems like it has sort of a mythological connotation.
Totally, and you have a very mythological sound coming from you as well, which kind of works perfectly.
Oh, well, cool. Thank you.
Now, here's the thing. Like, I know you're in a few different bands, right? You are in a cover band for Led Zeppelin with Zepparella and some other bands, but this was your first kind of take, and Valentino's Victory Lap is a take from your first solo album, Hail Souls, right?
That's correct, yeah. Right now, my main project I'm working on is my solo project. I have played in a number of different bands, and there's still a couple listed on my website because they're bands that have been kind of extensively, and, you know, who knows, even if we're on hiatus, we'll be, you know, maybe doing something again at some point. And Zepparella, the Led Zeppelin tribute band, kind of just chugging away. A lot of fun playing music that I love with girls who I adore. So, but right now my main focus is on my solo stuff, and Valentino's Victory Lap was the first single.
So tell me why the decision to go solo. Was it you just wanted to make music kind of for yourself, or it was just that time for you in your life?
I think I've always actually written music, and so I had not all of the music already written for Hail Souls, but a good deal of it was already written. And I think what ended up happening is, and then I think a lot of people get to this point in bands, it's like you join a band, you put in all of this time, all of this effort, all of this energy, and then, you know, somebody in the band wants to do something else, or for whatever reason, it ends up not working out, either schedules or personalities or whatever, and then it's like, then you're kind of left with this heartbreak of all of this time and energy you put into something, and then at the end of the day, you're like, wow, so much for that band. And the reason I ended up doing the solo stuff is I thought, well, I'm always going to have me, so if I do something that is a solo project, it allows me to work with different people, to continue to have my music, and to not have it be kind of at the mercy of my bandmates' schedules, availability, and all of that.
Tell me about this, because now that you're doing your own solo thing, how do you not sound like you're playing with Zepparella or with any of your other bands? And you know, tell me about moving out of the shadows of those bands to kind of create your own sound.
I've always thought about it is music is a language, and like any language, we learn imitatively. So our first phrases we pick up from our parents and our first words and things like that. So as a musician, I think most people, if you ask them how they learn to play, whether they're a classical guitar player or blues or anything like that, they'll say that they learned the music of their favorite musicians, you know. So classical guitar players learn to play by playing, you know, Brouwer or Bach, or blues players will study Robert Johnson or B.B. King or whatever, and, you know, and I think that for me, Led Zeppelin, for instance, was some of the first music that even got me into guitar, so guitar-oriented, and I remember being, whatever, a teenager and hearing Led Zeppelin for the first time. One of my friends had very hip parents and, you know, would give us cool things to listen to and discover Led Zeppelin, and so I think that got me kind of in the door with guitar. I mean, not Led Zeppelin exclusively, but definitely they're a big one for me. And so when I had the opportunity, after I'd already started playing guitar, but when I had the opportunity to join up with this friend of mine, Clementine, who's the drummer of Zepparella, not Led Zeppelin, it was a no-brainer because it was, wow, paid education, I get to learn, you know, good deal of Jimmy Page's catalog and, you know, the people I love, I figured it would only expand my vocabulary. So if you can take music of people you like, internalize it, and then somehow figure out how not to have it just stop there, but to have it sort of become part of your musical palette, have it become something that you can take in, but then when it comes time to write your own music, to sort of leave it aside, assume that it's in there somewhere, but when I sit down to write, I don't ever think, okay, I'm going to write something that's kind of like communication breakdown or dazed and confused. And, you know, interestingly enough, as much Led Zeppelin as I play, I don't think almost anybody said that my record sounds like Led Zeppelin. I don't know.
Are you a fan of timing signatures? Because I know a lot of, you know, bands that do just like instrument albums, some of them go off of that, of timing signatures. Are you a fan of that, or do you think that you just do it more like with a rhyme and kind of melodic structure?
So the song that, you know, we were just talking about, Valentina's Victory Rap, that's one that actually starts out in an odd time signature and then moves into just sort of more of a basic 4/4. I don't ever sit down necessarily and say, I will now write something in 7/8 or in 5/4 or anything like that. I hear something first, and then I analyze it later. It actually took me a little while to figure out whether I was going to count the beginning of Valentina's Victory Lap in 10/8 or 5/4. And I sat down and went, what am I doing here? But I don't really think about it that way. I do like the way Led Zeppelin, for instance, incorporates sometimes. You know, nobody really ever thinks about the oddness or the odd meter inherent in, say, like the riff of The Ocean. It's such a great riff, you just hear it for what it is. So, I guess I don't use time signatures self-consciously.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to hear another song, and we're going to have more with my guest, Gretchen. And by the way, the song that we're going to hear is Fading. And is that a violin I hear playing as well with you?
Yeah, that is. That is a lovely violinist named Emily Talin. She and I, we had different bands for a while, and I heard her play and just fell in love with her intensity and just beautiful, beautiful playing. So I'd always wanted an excuse to work with her, and I decided to incorporate some violin on my album. There's actually a piece on it for solo violin, no guitar at all. And I just loved her playing. She was on board to do it, so that's her violin you hear. And you'll also hear a soprano, human voice on there, and that is my unbelievably wonderful, gorgeous sister, Kirsten Mann. She's actually a doctor now, but grew up singing, trained in opera. And when I was almost done with Fading, actually, I was listening to it, and all of a sudden I kind of heard in my head like a human voice. I hadn't ever actually thought about putting any voice on the record. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. And then I recognized the voice. I'm like, oh, that's Kirsten. So I called her up and I was like, hey, would you do this? And she was down to do it. She'd never, ever recorded in the studio before. Was super nervous about it and came in. And what you hear was that there's no autocorrect. I don't even think we did an edit on her vocal. It was all just one clean take.
The first take. I love it.
No, it wasn't the first take. It took a second to, you know, kind of get the levels all right, because she'd never been in a studio. She's trying to sing with headphones and with a mic and everything. But it was pretty early on, actually. She got it really fast, and it was there's no edits, no pitch correct or anything like that.
Well, let's see if the people listening to this can hear that. We're going to have more with my guest, Gretchen Mann, right here on the playlist.
Thank you.
Hey, if you enjoy what you're listening to, come visit me on my website, which is GretchenMen.com.
Strut by Gretchen Mann. And get this, is an Oleo Strut, is that like a plane or something like that?
It's actually, it's part of an airplane. It's a type of shock absorber on landing gear, which is, I know, a goofy name for a song, but it's sort of, you know, especially when you have instrumentals, you come up with these sometimes goofy working titles. When I came up with the riff, it had kind of just like this, like, cocky swagger to it, and I thought, wow, that's sort of a strut, if I've ever heard something that sounded strut-like. And then being a pilot, I thought, you know, then I immediately went from, like, you know, kind of a swagger strut to part of a plane strut, so it became Oleo Strut, which I found, it amused me mildly, and the name stuck, so.
Wait, did you just say you were a pilot?
Yeah, I'm a pilot. I was, actually, that was my responsible plan B if music didn't work out.
Wow. I would have loved for you to fly me anywhere in the world.
Well, if you flew ever on Continental Express, I might have, actually.
Cool. I think I have. Where was I going? Where does Continental Express go? Does it go, is it just like United States?
Furthest north I flew was up to Canada. Furthest south was down to Mexico, and I was based out of Cleveland. I only flew to the airlines for about a year. Okay. And then I had to play guitar, so I left to do that.
You were over it. You're like, I'm over flying planes.
The thing is, I love flying. I love being in the air. I love pulling G's. Like, if it were up to me, I would have been a Blue Angel. But airline flying is out of necessity routine. I mean, you don't exactly want the passengers to feel like they're on a roller coaster, and yet that's why I got into flying. So you do that for enough months, and, you know, you look at sort of the career path, and you think, I think I was 23 when I was doing it, and I was kind of, after about 4 months, I was like, wow, this is a lot of straight and level flight with the autopilot on, and, you know, woo-hoo, I landed. And then you're looking at doing that for a whole lifetime, thinking, I'm going to do this till I'm 60, spend 4 months, and I'm kind of bored. The plane I was flying was a really nice plane. It was a brand new regional jet, the Embraer 145 and 135. And for a lot of people, I definitely scored a cool gig, and yet I wasn't appreciating it. And I think, gosh, if all I'm doing is, like, I can't wait to get back to the hotel to play my guitar, because I'd always bring it with me. And I'm sitting here, like, in somebody's dream job. I'm occupying this seat, and it's somebody's dream job. And I can't wait to play my guitar. Like, maybe I should just let somebody else have this dream job, and I'll follow my own dream.
Did you ever play the guitar while flying the plane?
At the same time?
Yeah. You did. You did.
No. I didn't. I actually didn't. I was not a renegade pilot. I did try to be a good pilot. I did
love
flying.
Right.
But it was right behind my seat.
Okay.
So
I see your
wing. I don't think that would have gone over very well. I did play on layovers a couple of times, like, you know, during delays and things like that, but not while flying.
Okay.
Cockpits aren't very big, actually. I think I would have been, you know, hitting a captain in the head or something like that.
Well, you're kind of a, like, I've seen your videos. And by the way, I'm going to put the videos up for some of the songs that we featured on the show notes, so people can see kind of you and how you do everything. But you were saying that it's small, but, you know, I found it a little weird that you do have freakishly long, like, fingers. Were you made fun of as a child or anything like that?
Long finger stuff, is that what, I definitely have small wrists, which makes my hands look kind of gecko-y, I guess.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think more often people come up to me after shows and go, look at your little hands, how do you play like that? And I think, well, I don't know, lend me some bigger hands for a week and I'll tell you if it's easier or harder. I don't know. That's all I've got.
Well, you got it going on. So, you can fly planes, play guitar, and, you know, make some great butter, I guess. Okay, so we're gonna leave now with the song Scrap Metal. And by the way, I saw the demo that you did for Providence Pedals, in which you displayed this song, and that was cool. I really liked the Stampede DTS DT2. That was a really cool pedal.
Cool, yeah. Providence makes great pedals. I connected with them a few months ago, and everything they sent me is just absolutely fantastic. There's, you know, they just asked me to do a video for the two overdrive pedals, but they make a really amazing delay pedal, and I've been having a ton of fun with them.
Cool. Cool. Well, my guest has been Gretchen Mann, which you can find on our website, GretchenMann.com, and I'll have all the links to your Facebook and to your YouTube and stuff like that. We leave you now with Scrap Metal.